This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
Anthony, here we are again.
Indeed.
This time in Nashville, instead of Atlanta.
We're moving right.
It's good to see you, though. And
good to see you.
What a happy prospect of looking into Philippians.
Absolutely.
Is this another one of Paul's wonderful, wonderful writings, I think.
Yes.
I've appreciated Paul. I've read his writings for most of my life.
Mm.
But since we've been doing these video commentaries and kind of just working our way through them, again, verse by verse, I appreciate him, I think, more than I ever have.
Yes.
It's, one thing, I appreciate the difficulties he encountered with those particularly who wanted to see the Gentile Christians maintaining the law of Moses.
Absolutely.
That seems to have been, everywhere he turned, he was struggling with that problem. That seems obvious.
Yes.
And but he was a great a great writer, a great lover of truth, and a great representative of Jesus.
Yes, it's remarkable that God allowed 8 people to write this New Testament. You think of the quadrillions of human beings who've stepped the earth. God can do that if He likes the talent of Paul. He can use a very few people to give this thing. We're still pouring over many years later.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. I don't think probably that we've written anything that would stand the test of that much time.
I doubt that very much.
But here we are reading Paul's Paul's work. That's great.
And you're right about the Jewish roots thing. We find that across the world. I think people feel inadequate. They want to do more for God.
Yeah.
They can't believe that believing the gospel is enough. You know, and acting, of course, obediently out of it, getting baptized, well, that's very important. But if I can just keep a Sabbath or a new moon, or maybe where there's tassels,
this will be better. This is somehow,
It's a feeling of inadequacy. Let me do more for God. And Paul is very incensed against that, saying that if you go that way, you're cutting yourself off from Christ.
You're missing the point. I think perhaps the biggest problem that Paul would see is that you're missing the sufficiency of the Messiah.
Absolutely.
You are saying that he is really not sufficient in and of himself.
That's right.
That we have to also add in other provisions. And
the whole Abrahamic thing, which is so wonderful, that Abraham believed God.
He
said,
yes, to God, get out
there and go for a land you've never seen it.
Yes.
He believed it, and he was reckoned to be right.
Yeah.
God wasn't kidding him, by the way. You get this idea, well, God's really pretending. Abraham's still a rotten sinner. Well, I know he's not sinless, but you're my man. You know, if you're prepared to believe what God says about the kingdom of God and your prospect and living the good life, then you're in.
That's right.
That's okay. That's sufficient.
And if indeed Abraham, faithful Abraham, if he's the father of us all, then why shouldn't we have the same faith he had about the same issues that he had?
That's the Galatians 3:8 text. The gospel was preached ahead of time to Abraham. That is a marvelous field of investigation for people who haven't looked at that.
I love that.
Wonderful.
So anyway, we know as if you're going into virtually any of Paul's writings, that the backdrop of this matter about the sufficiency of Messiah versus do we also need Moses with Messiah in order for this to work, and that's going to be there, and probably we're going to pick up on some of that in Philippians.
I would think so. I think he fought against that tendency. He's very gentle with people. You know, if you've got people who differ on some of these things individually, tolerate them, you know, don't kick them out. But when it becomes an attack, a frontal attack on the whole system by a mass of people saying you must be physically circumcised. Then Paul pulls out all the stuff, humor, sometimes a little bit racy, you know, he gets to be quite tough in language.
That's right.
I think we'll find that tendency less so in this letter.
Yeah, not as much on this as we've found in some of it, but probably good to know that this is still the background of all of Paul's.
Oh, yes.
That's wonderful. Okay. Well, this is Philippians, written to the folks at Philippi. Philippi. It just hit me. That's probably, I would suppose, after Philip of Macedonia, the
I would think so.
Who was actually the father of Alexander.
That's right.
The Great.
Yes.
So anyway, so here's a city that bears his name, I imagine.
Absolutely.
And but there are believers there who come to the faith and.
Right.
Paul he was there, Oh, 16th chapter of Acts.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's where we get
there's
that.
There's the jail scene, isn't
yeah.
it, in the 16th
It is, indeed. Yeah, that is it. The very Philippian exactly. jailer.
Philippian jailer, that's right. I remember him, yes. Yeah.
So Paul had preached the message there, wound up in prison for it,
yes.
was delivered from that,
yes.
And even his jailer yes. became a believer and was baptized.
After hearing them singing hymns in the middle of the night. That's a marvelous
right.
story, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, but it's after that that Paul is writing this letter back to the
yes.
believers there.
Yes.
How nice.
Saints, as they called him.
Yeah, yeah. Which, yes. Which, by the way, did not mean to them certain elevated individuals,
no.
but actually all of those who
Absolutely.
Were called in Christ
yeah,
Jesus.
In the Greek, just holy people.
Yeah.
They've been touched by the Spirit by being baptized
yes.
and believing the truth.
Yes.
That's sufficient for them to become part of the true body of Christ.
Yes.
I'm thinking of those friends of ours out there who don't think they are saints. You know, they think they're Christians.
But not
there's no such there's no such thing.
That's right. Yeah.
Every true believer in the Bible
yeah.
is a saint. He's
Excellent.
Part of the body of Christ. He has to have the Spirit in order to qualify mm-hmm. for being
mm-hmm.
a holy person.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he's sinless.
Yes.
Certainly
yes.
not. But he's in good with God if he's
Absolutely.
Believed the message correctly.
Right. Yeah.
And ideally got
right.
God worked out as the one God of Abraham, Isaac
yeah.
and Jacob.
That's right.
And Jesus as
yeah.
the Lord Messiah.
So this business of saint or being a separated holy one,
mm-hmm.
It certainly wasn't something attained to after death,
no.
you know, as
no.
is now thought by so many. But it was something
That's
attained
right.
to by coming to be in Christ
That's right.
And sharing in that Spirit.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah, that's right. So, well, anyway, let's
yeah.
let's see what we find in
yeah.
Chapter 1, and he begins. He says, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
to all the saints." There's our word. We're talking about saints.
Yes.
"In Christ Jesus, who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons,
mm-hmm.
okay, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And beautiful. So this is reminiscent of so many of his introductions.
Absolutely.
And,
no greetings from the Holy Spirit.
No, of course not. Yes,
nobody
right.
prays to the Holy
That's
Spirit
right.
in the Bible.
That's right.
Never sends any greetings. I
yes.
think one group said that the Holy Spirit was the shy member of the Trinity. We don't get into that, obviously.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the Holy
right.
Spirit is God's operational presence and power, either Jesus or God, indistinguishable,
right.
I think.
Right. When we get to the New Testament, after Jesus has been glorified,
yes.
then we find this state to where the Spirit is representing Jesus
Absolutely.
Himself.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It
yeah.
is wonderful.
Yeah. You know, while we're there, and before we go on, I was just thinking about these terms, overseers,
yes.
And
yes.
Some translations would say bishops, I
mm-hmm.
think,
mm-hmm.
And then the deacons. But the overseers, sometimes there's confusion, I think, about that.
Mm-hmm.
The I think this is in Greek, New Testament, episkopos, if I'm not
mm-hmm.
mistaken.
Okay. Yes, one who looks over,
right.
overseer,
right.
episkopos.
So it's not the it's not the presbyteros in
no.
this case.
No.
Two different terms, but
yeah.
actually one of the same.
Absolutely.
No distinction, really.
I think that's right. That's a consensus
yeah.
now in non-so-called scholarly people.
Yeah.
You can see that fairly easily. An overseer is a bishop, is a presbyter,
yeah.
is a pastor,
yeah.
too.
It's all yeah. terms referring yeah. to the same.
There would
yeah.
have been a plurality of them, ideally.
Yeah.
I think
it is somehow. I remember reading somewhere a little bit of the history of it, but I think the idea of the person who was the episkopos,
mm-hmm.
The bishop, that
mm-hmm.
became the idea
yeah.
was it became a superior
yeah.
position, but
Sorry.
That didn't happen
no.
until post-biblical times.
No.
And,
I think that was the centralizing of authority, which probably led them in the wrong direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Need that.
But they were really
so,
creating
yeah.
a different
they
position
were.
That even existed.
They were.
Yeah. It's all elders. All
people
elders.
Ask about Phoebe sometime, who was a diakonos. She was a servant.
Ah,
I think
yeah.
Also called a prostatis, which I think was a financial helper.
Ah, yeah,
she
yes.
wasn't ordained, I think. Paul
right.
didn't ordain the women
sure.
as elders, bishops.
Sure.
But she had a special servant activity.
And she was certainly very,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And the women certainly did pray and prophesy. There's
yes,
no problem
absolutely,
with that.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that Paul put them where the buck stops, so
sure,
to speak.
Sure.
Like the obey your leaders
yeah.
thing
sure.
in Hebrews. We don't do that much of that these days. But
sure.
I don't think the women had to be burdened with that authority.
Sure, that's right. But anyway, this is great. So and this is an interesting case because he speaks to the saints, which would indicate all of the believers there.
Certainly.
And then he mentions, and particularly the overseers and the deacons, he mentions those. Yes. He doesn't always do that, but it's nice he makes note of that.
I've noticed that. Yeah. That's good.
Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Verse 8, for God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Verse 10, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Wow, this is really amazing. It's like he's at the starting gate and he's just off, isn't it? It's amazing. I love that Paul, even when he has some words of correction or reproof, he doesn't usually get into that until after he has made clear how wonderfully blessed they all are and how he esteems these folks.
Very fatherly, isn't he?
Yes, he really is indeed.
People. Very genuine love for them as his children in the faith. Yeah, I like to think about God as at work in you here. God has begun a good work.
Yes.
So here we have salvation in three tenses of the verb. There was a time when you got saved, but being saved, and most importantly, we have to struggle to go forward.
Yes.
I read in a dictionary yesterday an extraordinary thing. It said something about grace means that any word about struggle is inappropriate. I think it's fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, that's
Jesus
right.
did say, agonize to get in by the narrow gate.
Sure.
I see what they're getting at. Yeah. We don't work our own works, to get salvation. We certainly don't merit salvation. But Christianity is not an easy race. It's going to require some real effort
That's
on our
right.
part, in cooperation with the work of God in us. Very important.
Yeah, and again, as we've noticed before, I think when you begin to take that to the extreme that sometimes I think people take it, then it begins to not sound like Jesus, who was encouraging people, as you say, agonized to enter in at that narrow gate
Jesus
and
struggle
with it. Go for it.
Yes.
We do have a role to play in this. There is no salvation. There is no hope for us apart from Jesus Christ,
That's right.
and that is the grace that He has extended
yes.
to us. But
yes.
but we do have a part in this.
I like
it is
that
up
very
to
much.
Us to believe in
absolutely the notion that it's a legal fiction. That God looks at Jesus and sees how wonderful Jesus is. He is wonderful, and pretends then that you're like that. That's not right. Otherwise, you really haven't gained anything. If you remain sort of incorrigible sinner for the whole of your Christian experience, what have we gained? You haven't gone forward. I think people underestimate what God can do with your talent. So you say to your friends, what talent have you got that God didn't give you? Maybe he's more thrilled with your talent than you are. Well, let him do
right.
that.
That's right. That's right.
It's a balance, obviously.
Again, the extraordinary way he expresses what he calls his affection
yes.
of Christ Jesus
yes.
For them.
Yes.
And it's his prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment, and so that you may approve what is excellent. You wouldn't want to be approving what's not excellent, would
no.
you?
No. Some thinking, evaluation going on there, isn't there? Yes. I like the fact that the commentators point out that Paul, the later you get in his ministry, he says, Messiah Jesus.
Mm.
There's a danger of Jesus Christ. The Christ is becoming a sort of a surname. And he's insistent on the fact that this is Messiah Jesus.
There's
still got the
There's
title.
No way to miss that. Then this is the anointed Jesus.
That's right.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, in fact, this is the only book, it's actually in chapter 3, verse 8, where he says, my Lord Jesus. Normally, our Lord Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And I think our audience should realize that's not our Yahweh Jesus. Mm-hmm. See, people think, well, the word Lord goes for God. It does. Yes, yes, we know that. Yes. But once you've got our Lord Jesus, yeah, or my Lord Jesus, yes, really, yes, but it's the same idea. Mm. Then you're in Psalm 110:1, where the second Lord is not God. So it's, yes, very easy. There's one God the Father, yes, in 1 Timothy 5, and one man, Messiah Jesus.
Messiah,
that is not brain-breakingly difficult, yes, but we've turned, yes, it, unfortunately, into a hideous argument. We don't need to do that.
Unnecessarily.
Unnecessarily. Right.
I like the last words there, filled with the fruit of righteousness, mm-hmm, the last word we're reading. Mm. I like that, filled with the fruits of righteousness. We don't have some, we are filled with this. And it comes through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To the glory and praise of,
yes,
God.
I noticed in the Septuagint in Daniel 12, you know, the famous resurrection verse there. I think it's in the Greek version, but the word glory is right there. Go and rest, Daniel, and then rise for your glory. So glory is a kingdom word, it's a future kingdom word. And he's already mentioned that twice. The day of Messiah Jesus is, of course, the parousia, the single second coming of Jesus in splendor and glory to set up the kingdom fully across the earth. The goal, as you said earlier on, is always right there, isn't it? We're always looking forward.
Excellent. I love that. I remember in verse 9, you may abound more and more, but if I remember right, now you've been, this wonderful translation you're working on. Mm. We're excited to see.
Oh, well, thank you.
But, so you've been working on all this. But as I recall, I think the language there is a present active, but it's like keep on,
absolutely,
keeping on, being abounding,
that's right,
and being overflowing.
Why
with,
not? Absolutely. Yeah, like so that we are being saved. You have to remind people of that, because it's always, when I got saved. It's not wrong, but that's the beginning of the race.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you're continuously being saved, and you're ultimately going to be saved at the resurrection.
At the resurrection.
The return of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:23 is an absolutely refrigerator verse. You know, the second coming is the part where the saints get resurrected.
Yes.
That's absolutely fundamental. But you don't get that clear sense of the program in some preaching.
Speaking of which, your translation should be available.
I hope so.
Maybe available by the time people are watching this. If so, I hope they'll get that would be nice.
Yes, it's a translation. There are many of them, and I think one should say that 95% of all translations are correct.
Sure.
You don't have to think, if you just get the magic version, it's not going to change the world. Yes. However, there are some passages which are rather biased, I think, in favor of the system.
Sure.
Those we hope to help with some rather copious notes, so it's commentary underneath.
Sure.
And I hope a readable translation.
Yeah, well, excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I hope our viewers, as I say, it may be available by the time our viewers are seeing this, so it's great.
Yeah.
What is the name of the translation?
Well, I think it's One God, One Man, Messiah, Kingdom version. It's rather lengthy.
Yes, yes, yes.
But the subtitle, and this is rather shocking, is a pre-Trinitarian translation of the New Testament with notes. The notion being that really, asking, did Paul or Jesus believe in the Trinity, is rather like saying, what sort of software did Paul have on his computer?
That's right.
It's very
He didn't have a computer.
Right? That's right. I don't think anybody in those days, Dan, and this is rather radical, thought that God could die, much less that God could be born, or that Mary was the mother of God.
Oh, yes,
that,
yes.
Those facts suggest that we moved away, and I think we did from the second century. So the point then of restoration, and many people attempt the restoration process, is to get back to the faith once delivered, which is much easier than the brain-breakingly difficult stuff the church fathers got into.
Oh my goodness, we've never recovered from all
that. No, where Jesus is man, but he's not a man.
That's right.
You're aware of
that.
So when people say to us, as they sometimes say, well, you don't think Jesus is God, I immediately say, well, I'm not sure you think Jesus is a man. Oh yes, I do, 100% man. 100% God. Yeah, but what you don't know is that your system says that he's man, but not a man.
But not a man.
Are you happy with that? Most people never thought about it.
If people really understood some of these things that the Trinity is espousing, they'd run from it. They couldn't get away from it quickly enough. But most people don't really understand what it is they say they believe.
That's not good. That's not healthy. We need to try to improve that situation.
Actually, when you think about it, that type of thinking, that doctrine, is a terrible assault on Jesus Christ. The man Christ Jesus is horribly assaulted in this. And people don't realize it. They think they're helping him out, or going to honor him. And I say, oh, he's God. Right. But in reality, they don't realize this is defaming the man Christ Jesus.
We can get the conversation going. I think it's a most interesting conversation. Yeah. As a Jew, you know, he really is not a Trinitarian. There are lots of good scholars who are not read by the public. They're not bestsellers. Who know this. It isn't something that you and I dreamed
of. Of course not.
Far from it. If it were, we'd be terrified.
That's right.
It's rather obvious that Paul didn't have a computer.
That's right.
I think equally obvious that nobody in those days thought that God could be born.
No, that's right.
Or
that's
die.
That's exactly right.
The immortal dies is a strange way to sing hymns, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think we need that. I think God is not pleased with us crucifying our intellect in the interest of a mystery that nobody understands.
Yeah. And isn't the truth much simpler, easier?
I would think so.
And more edifying, actually. Yeah. I enjoy these things.
Absolutely.
Much better than when I was enamored with a lot of this other business, which I used to be, I have to say.
We've all come from varying unthinking backgrounds, I think, in that regard. And of course, don't forget the Muslims and the Jews are at present kept at arm's length from Christianity because they've been taught, in my estimation, rightly to think of God as one.
Yeah.
So this is a very large issue, clearly, but a very important one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, So we're picking up here that he is, on this occasion, in prison.
Yes.
And not a happy circumstance, but as I've said, Paul's faith was so wonderful and his determination so so sure that I don't find him crying the blues. I think, you know, if I was in prison, I would be just probably moaning and crying and saying, please do something, get me out of here. But Paul, he's taking it all in stride. And saying, you know, even my imprisonment's working out to the good. Isn't that wonderful?
Very positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the Imperial Guard, apparently he's had connection with a number of folks in that guard. And and he's saying, you know, they're hearing this message. He's getting the word out there. So isn't it interesting that Paul goes to prison for the message?
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets to prison, he doesn't say, well, you know, this message got me in here. I better quit talking like that. He's in prison still talking about the gospel and the message of Christ.
That is fascinating. It also has incited the church members to do more.
I
puzzle over that because some church members, I think, find it difficult to know what exactly they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And could we say that in internet days, everybody can spend a couple of hours, perhaps.
Oh my, yeah.
Get in there, one of these blogs, put your point of view. You may get some opposition.
That's right.
But at least be out there, be visible. And apparently they've become bolder, you see. It's only by doing the gospel that you become bold with it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It might be a bit shattering initially, but Paul is thrilled because they are now bolder, since I'm in prison, to speak the word of God, and that's the gospel in verse 16.
Yeah.
The word of the kingdom, of course.
Yes,
it's the shorthand term, not just a synonym for the Bible, the word of the gospel of the kingdom, as Jesus and Paul always preached it.
Wow.
And Paul is thrilled with that.
Yeah, he's happy.
Yeah.
I like that. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill.
Hmm.
The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel, because of the defense of the gospel. Verse 17. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry. Not sincerely, but thinking to affect me in my imprisonment. My goodness. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Wow. You can't beat Paul in this point of view. He's saying there are those who preach Christ out of rivalry and from envy and from bad motivations, And he said, I suppose they think to add to my anguish in being here. Yeah. He said, but he says, no, not so. He said, I'm glad, one way or another, I'm glad at least the name of Christ is being spoken and yes. it's been proclaimed.
Very generous, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is great.
Yes.
So,
thinking to cause me distress, he had his rivals in the church who were trying to cause him distress. That's shocking.
Wow, yeah. Awful. It's amazing. I wonder if some of those may have been those who were wanting to, again, bring
yeah.
people into
yeah.
line with,
perhaps
with
his enemies
the,
often
the law.
The Jewish
business,
element
yeah.
that could not get the
yeah.
new covenant clear. That's right.
Right. So yeah. I don't know. I'm not. He doesn't elaborate
no.
more on it, but it's interesting to see this. I think that's. Yes, and I will rejoice, verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance,
mm-hmm.
as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always,
mm-hmm.
Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death.
Wow.
So he's turning, saying, I know that by your prayers and by your help that these things all work to the good, and it works for my deliverance, he thinks.
Yes.
And he says, I'm not ashamed, I'm full of courage, and always that Christ will be honored in me. If whether I live or if I'm dying, or if I die, that he will be honored.
Yes.
Wow.
I like that phrase, the provision. It's an army word. You know, you provide food for your army.
Ah, oh
daily
yes.
Daily provision.
Okay.
So the Spirit is not something you get just once.
Ah, yes.
It needs to be renewed day by day. And that provision of the Spirit of God, that's the operational presence of God, oh Jesus, through Messiah Jesus, yes. Jesus Christ. Yes.
Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ,
yes.
and to die is gain.
Yes.
If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two.
Mm-hmm.
My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better.
Mm-hmm.
But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 26. So that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. There's that Christ
yes.
Jesus, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes. Yes. Messiah Jesus really gets the Jewish flavor overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and his effort then is clear. It's two options, isn't it? Either to live on in the flesh in my present human condition, is what he means there. Might be better for you. In fact, I'll do that joyfully. But departing to be with Christ is also a gain.
Mm-hmm.
We have then to always remember 1 Thessalonians 4:17,
yes.
which tells us how we get to be with Christ.
How this
it's
happens.
Only by
yes,
the resurrection
right.
and the catching up to meet the Lord. If you're dead, you are raised. If you're living, you're caught up together with those resurrected
yeah.
saints. In that manner, mm-hmm. by that process only,
right.
we get to be with Christ. Not by departing to heaven the moment we die.
Right. Which he says nothing about that here.
No.
He's talking about this waiting and hope of resurrection.
Of course. Yeah. The day of Christ, right?
Yes.
He doesn't
which
have
he's spoken of
saying,
already
that's right.
a couple of times.
He doesn't have to say it because they knew that.
Of course.
But people today read this thing about departing to be with Christ as though the next second in time, you know, the moment you die, you're going to be in heaven. That's just not right. My cousin J.T. Robinson, notorious person in some ways, but has this good saying. He says, heaven in the Bible is nowhere the destination of the dying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. It's always the second coming of Jesus
mm-hmm.
to resurrect the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:23 being absolutely a solid refrigerator
yes.
verse, as we call
yeah,
it, you know,
yes.
one never to be forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love it. I think he says, I know I'm going to remain and continue
mm-hmm.
with you
mm-hmm.
for your progress and joy. But he's really not remaining for any personal reasons of his own. He
no.
could just go on. He said, I'd just like to go on and then be with Christ
yes.
at his coming.
Yes, exactly right.
He's already laid that
yes.
out. We've mentioned that coming twice.
Yes.
That is his hope. And so I think that clearly that's when he expected to really be with Christ.
No
that
question.
Is coming, yeah.
That's certainly true. In the Thessalonian letters, it's all spelled out.
Oh, my land, yes, yeah. Verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, serving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents.
Mm-hmm.
This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. 29. Yes. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Wow.
Yes.
Verse 30. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Wow. Yeah, the suffering element, right? Through much tribulation in Acts, through much tribulation, he warned them, we enter the kingdom finally. If we suffer with him, we'll reign as kings with him. It's always the suffering
yes.
pride of the glory.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's a constant theme in the New Testament, isn't it?
And we should be happy when these sufferings are coming our
yeah.
way, when we remember and realize that the sufferings are partaking of
yeah.
Christ. Mm-hmm. And I love the thing in Romans where he says, you know, if we suffer with him, then we will reign with him. And it's a lovely, lovely
thing. It is. Yeah. It's a lovely contrast,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
James, I find, of course, a wonderful, wonderful book, but when he says, you know, just be thrilled when you force him to difficulty, I like to say to him, you know, unpack that for me a little bit.
Let's talk about that.
But knowing that by the trial of our faith, we are going to achieve a better result in,
yeah.
in the long term. So we must expect to be tried and tested. Why not? We don't allow
That's
a man
right.
loose as ruler of the world with Messiah
That's right.
until we are quite sure what's in his heart. So the testing and the trial is part of the training.
Absolutely.
The training course. Kind of a Navy SEAL thing, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought of it that way. Yes, yeah, that's right.
God is choosing his elite. He's not going to allow them free reign to rule with Jesus until he sees what's really in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take some testing.
Isn't that interesting?
Remember to Abraham, he says, now I know
mm-hmm.
that you're willing to give your son up. Now
oh, yeah,
I know you're
yeah.
going to do what you're supposed to do.
So
he's watching us.
So we're getting checked out.
Absolutely, checked
that's
out.
Right. That's
we're
right.
qualifying.
That's right. That's nice. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, we suffer for his sake, but... And you're engaged in the same conflict that you saw that I had.
Mm-hmm.
You knew when I was there, I've been going through these kinds of things. And you see that I still have. I'm in prison even as we speak. Probably in Rome, don't you suppose?
I would think so,
I think
yes.
Someone...
He lived a bit longer than this, but he had
yeah.
a bit more ministry
yeah.
to go. But this
yeah.
is not an early letter like Thessalonians. It's later
yeah.
on, obviously.
Yeah. That would make yeah. sense, too, of the Imperial Guard business,
yes.
I would think. Or at least better sense of that.
Right. I don't think he didn't convert Caesar entirely to the faith.
No.
I see that, but the gospel was known. It's supposed to be known everywhere.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was a good opportunity for that to happen. Yeah, he's very confident. I mean, you can't keep this man down, can you? He's completely bouncy at
yeah.
every point.
Yeah. Every time I get back into reading things that he said, it really encourages me. You know, how can I get up in the morning and be despondent when this fellow from prison was... just bubbly and encouraging
yeah.
everybody around him and speaking even to
yes.
the Imperial Guard folks
yes.
there that
we should be thankful for the freedoms we enjoy here.
Oh,
with
that's
all the things
oh, my
that people
yes.
do complain about and sometimes justifiably
yeah.
we're enjoying amazing technological resources
yes,
to get this
sakes.
Work done now. Paul would be amazed, wouldn't he, that he could sit in front of a camera
Absolutely.
And tell everybody, 2.5 billion people with their internets or whatever it is.
yeah.
And that's quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
It suggests that the gospel of the kingdom can go to the ends of the earth, and
Amazing.
Then the end will come.
Absolutely.
Although it's been 2,000 years, and people say, what happened here? They expected it less than that, no doubt, but it does say, after a long time,
sure.
the Messiah comes back.
Right.
I see that. So we're still waiting.
Yeah.
What else
well,
is there?
And he has his own time and purposes
yes.
for all of this. So I think we'll see it all more clearly when
yes.
he comes. And he can explain
yeah.
to us more how that what all was going
That's
on
right.
through all of this. But
yes.
in the meantime, our mission is clear, I think and that's
too.
The and I know where we live. We live in the Matthew 24:14 time, I think.
I think so.
He's not come yet. So
yeah.
I think that means here we are. We need to be about this business of helping yes. in this proclamation of the gospel. To
what else is there?
Yeah.
And especially, as you said earlier, the insistence on the teachings of Jesus.
Ah,
not
yes.
just that he died and rose, yeah, which is yeah. essential.
Yeah.
It's very easy to use the word Christ indiscriminately without remembering that his words
ah, yes.
are the standard by which we're going to be
yes.
judged. He kept saying it.
No, yes.
But, you know, it's an interesting thing. A lot of these very key verses, like salvation is given to those who obey Jesus,
yes.
Hebrews 5:9,
yes.
they're not mentioned in sermons very much.
Yeah, you're right.
And
you're
in,
exactly.
in church, you can get a very selective, small number of 31,000 verses.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
yeah.
exactly blaming the pastor because he preached very long sermons.
Yeah, right.
But are people really looking at these easy verses,
yeah.
like salvation is given to those who obey Jesus? That's rather
right.
easy.
Right, right.
Can't do nothing. On the other hand, you can't merit salvation by working at
sure.
your own legal system that yeah. isn't required.
Right, right. And not even by the system that Moses brought.
That's right.
That won't cut it. Won't do it.
Isn't that something? It's a
yeah.
brand new system
it
that
is.
Unites the Jew and the Gentile.
Absolutely.
Don't separate them.
Yeah.
The barrier between them has been broken down. I think it's wonderful.
I think it is too.
It's a matter of obedience of faith. There's another wonderful phrase, the obedience of faith.
Yes, that's right.
That's a wonderful combination.
Yeah.
You have to hear and believe, and then you get busy doing what you're supposed yeah. to do.
And we've noticed before that that phrase represents almost like a couple of bookends
yes.
to the book of Romans.
Isn't that right?
You find it in the first chapter,
yeah.
the obedience of faith, and then when he gets to the 16th chapter, it's still wanting to remind us about that obedience of faith. It's an amazing.
I wish we could change the language of people. If they'd stop talking about going to heaven and talk about entering the kingdom in the age to come. You know, Bishop
yes.
Wright, in his translation, has gotten in print now, with the life of the age to come.
Isn't
eternal
that nice?
Life is very
yes.
vague. It's not wrong. But vagueness is not a good idea in the Bible. The life of the coming age of the kingdom is so beautiful, isn't it?
I think I'm in favor of all the clarity we can get.
Absolutely.
Why would we be happy with the vagueness
no.
and confusion?
Not a good idea.
But I think we should always be striving for all the clarity when in God's Word. We would in other matters,
yes.
I think. We want to be clear about,
right.
you know, about your water bill. You
yes.
want to make sure you're not being charged differently than what,
yes.
and you want to be clear about that.
That's right.
Why would we come to the Word of God and say, well, it doesn't really matter, and, you know, who cares? Well,
yeah.
I think of all the things we would care about, we would care about this.
I would think so. And it is a very Jewish affair. I mean, this is
sure.
a Jewish story.
Absolutely.
Jesus was a Jew.
Absolutely.
This whole idea of the kingdom, you know, and ruling the world, or the world being at peace eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's what a Jew lives for, that wonderful
yeah.
thing in Luke there, where there's Jesus is standing close to Jerusalem,
yes.
and they think the kingdom is going to come right. Well, that's marvelous. But now, is that being preached?
Yeah.
I say
yeah,
to the students,
not,
no, you should be preaching
this
about four times every Sunday, that
that's
one,
right?
the
right.
nobleman parable in Luke 19,
that's
every
right.
Sunday,
that's
at
right.
least twice.
That's right.
Because otherwise the framework is never there in
yeah.
place. The plot is lost. And without the plot, it's very difficult to be excited
yeah.
about what's going on in
yeah,
God's
right.
plan.
Well, I'm excited. I'm pretty excited about all of this. And,
yes, indeed.
And when you begin to as you say, when you catch the scheme of things, and you begin to understand what the storyline is.
That's right, the storyline.
Yeah. Then now we're
yes.
getting there. Now we can
yes.
make sense of all this, and it begins
yes.
to make sense to me in my life.
And then drives you in a new way.
Yeah.
What if you only learn the stories and never the story, you see? I mean,
yeah,
people
yeah.
know about the three boys thrown into the fire. Not
yeah.
all wonderful stuff. But if you haven't got the plot line from
yes.
the beginning, from
yes.
Adam to the restored
right.
Eden at the end
right.
of it.
Right.
I mean, everybody goes to the movies, surely, to see a cliffhanging, suspenseful thing, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
The Bible is marvelous. It's an epic drama, not yet finished.
That's great. I love it. That's nice.